Now it's time for the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. This is your weekly informative hour all about eyes. Learn about cataracts. Ask a question about glaucoma. Find out how diabetes affects your eyes. Stay tuned for an entertaining and educational program about eyes and eye care. Call in to have your questions answered by the doctor. Now, your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Steve Ree. I'm filling in for Dr. Tortora. It's time once again for our regular weekly program about eyes and eye care. It's called the Hawaiian Eye Show. It's sponsored by the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. We'll be here for the next hour talking about glasses, laser beams, and eye surgery. We can talk about your cataracts, your contacts, itchy eyes, droopy eyelids, or whatever it is that interests you. If you'd like to join us today, give us a call. Our number here is 521-8383. Again, 521-8383. Well, it's great being here this morning with you. I hope everyone has a great start to the weekend. I'm going to talk about a few interesting cases that I've seen over the past few weeks about eyes in our offices. I want to start off with some interesting news that I read. There was a study that showed that vision loss tied to diabetes is on the rise in the U.S. In fact, in the past 10 years, vision loss has increased by about 20%, thought to be due to diabetes. And that's a bit concerning since a lot of folks out there do have diabetes. It's a pretty serious condition, and if it's not treated properly, it can be devastating for the entire body, not only the eyes, but your heart, your limbs, your kidneys. It's something that shouldn't be taken lightly. In our office, we do see a lot of diabetic patients. All the primary care doctors do send over the patients to get their eyes checked out. So what happens to the eyes in diabetes? Well, diabetes affects the blood vessels. So when your sugars are out of control for a long time and it's not treated with medication or with insulin, the blood vessels can get a little bit leaky. And since there are blood vessels in the eye, we can actually see bleeding if the diabetes isn't controlled properly. So it's a good idea to get your eyes checked at least, you know, once a year if you have diabetes. So what happens when there's bleeding in the eye? Well, the retina, which is the tissue that lines the inside of the eye, it could just swell up. And of course, if the retina isn't working properly, you're not seeing well. So often, people who do have advanced diabetes do complain of not seeing well and having blurry vision. Of course, that's not always the case. People can still have diabetic changes in the eyes, and their vision could be 20/20. So you really can't go by just how your vision is. So all of our diabetic patients out there, it is important to get the eyes checked out to look for those changes. So at least once a year for our diabetic folks. And if we do note any changes like bleeding or even swelling in the eye, and that doesn't necessarily need treatment right away, we like to see you a little bit sooner than a year, perhaps even a few months down the line, just to be sure that the condition isn't getting worse. Of course, now people are seeing kids and adolescents being diagnosed with diabetes. Of course, obesity and, you know, just being overweight is becoming a big problem. So again, it's important that screening everyone with the condition is key to maintaining your vision. So all of our diabetic patients out there, make sure you see your eye doctor. Get at least a dilated exam every year, since the things that can happen to the diabetes happen inside of the eye, and you can't really see what's going on the outside. Over the past few weeks, we've seen a few interesting cases. I always start off the show with a few cases that I share with you guys. We've been seeing a lot of minor trauma to the eyes lately. Oftentimes we have people coming in with things that fly into their eyes. We have a lot of guys out there working, and all of a sudden they notice after grinding or working with metal, things flying in, and they're in a lot of pain. of course, you know, we see them right away because, you know, it's not very comfortable, you know, having something in your eye. The surface of the eye is probably the most sensitive part of your body. So even the smallest fleck, even an eyelash can be bothersome. And it's really hard to function when you can't see and your eye's tearing up all the time. So, you know, we've got these guys come in, and oftentimes it's like a little fleck of metal. So people who work in the auto body shop or people who do a lot of grinding, drilling metal, get flecks of metal that go right on the surface and just kind of embed there. And if it's metal, it's going to rust. And oftentimes we do see a little bit of rusting that happens on the surface of the eyeball. And it's important to just to get that removed as soon as possible. If it's left there, it can possibly lead to infection. But more importantly, by removing it and letting the eye heal, people will feel a lot more comfortable. Oddly enough, even if you wear safety glasses, sometimes those flecks of dust or metal can end up on the eye. It's the funniest thing. I always ask my patient, weren't you wearing safety goggles? And more often than not, they say, yeah, but it always gets in through the side. So even with eye protection, it manages to get in. But although, of course, it is important to wear eye protection when doing those types of activities like grinding or drilling, working with any power tools. We've also seen a lot of people with scratched corneas. The cornea is the front part of the eye. People who wear contact lenses, you place the contact lens right on the cornea. And I've seen a few corneal abrasions or scratches from various reasons. I've had a patient who last year got scratched by his three-year-old. His three-year-old son just poked him in the left eye, and that kind of eventually healed over the course of the few months. But what happens is when you get a scratch or an abrasion on your cornea, that area is always a little bit weak. The area that's scratched off, the molecules that cause it to stick to the surface get a little bit weakened, so it could stay weak even after it's healed. So what may happen is over time, even years down the line, that area can loosen up a little bit and you can create another abrasion. And that's called the recurrent erosion syndrome. And that's exactly what this gentleman had. So we did treat it. We actually put a contact lens on, and the contact lens acts like a bandage. So, you know, when you get a cut, say on your skin, you put a bandage on it to help it to heal. Well, for the cornea, if we see a scratch and if it's large enough and the patient's really uncomfortable, oftentimes we do put a contact lens and that acts like a bandage. So that does several things. Firstly, it makes the patient really comfortable because, you know, having a scratch in your eye, it's not the most comfortable thing in the world. Also, it helps that surface to heal better. So that's what we did for this gentleman. Unfortunately, I saw him again this past week, and guess what? He got poked in the eye again by his son on the same eye. So it's really unfortunate. And again, he had another abrasion. So once again, we put another contact lens on him, and he's more comfortable, and I expect him to heal really well. So kind of unusual to get poked in the same eye by the same son on two occasions, but he'll do well, and hopefully he won't give his son a hard time about it. Before we go on, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back, and if you have any questions, give us a call.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The Hawaiian Eye Show phone lines are now open. Give us a call at 521-8383 with your questions for the doctor. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, call us toll-free at 888-565-8383. Now, back to your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Totora.
Welcome back to the Hawaiian Eye Show. This is Dr. Steve Ree filling in for Dr. Tortora this morning. We were talking about some interesting cases. We had the gentleman who got poked in the eye twice over the past year by his son, who ended up having another scratch on his eyeball. So other things that we can do for recurrent erosion syndrome, if the contact lens simply doesn't work and the eye doesn't heal properly. Sometimes that area of the scratch just won't stick and remains loose. So something we can do is called stromal puncture, where we take a really fine needle and kind of make some superficial pokes on the surface of the eye, and that does stimulate the stickiness. So that does promote healing. Other times, if that doesn't work, we can do a laser procedure to make it adhere a little bit better. So I expect our patient to heal pretty well. Hopefully that'll never happen to him again. I think I recommended that he just wear goggles all the time at home, so I don't know if he'll end up doing that. So something else that I've noticed we've seen a lot lately are people who come in complaining of things growing on the surface of their eyes. For some odd reason, that they would like take a closer look at the mirror. They would notice something. Perhaps they have like an irritation, and they come in saying, "Oh my goodness, I've got this yellow spot on my eye," and I'm wondering what it is. More often than not, what they're looking at is a pinguecula. That's an overgrowth on the whites of the eyes, usually located like kind of on the inner corner. If you look really, really closely at a mirror, sometimes you might see it like a little, like a bump. Sometimes it looks a little bit yellowish, other times not. This is merely an overgrowth of the conjunctiva, or that mucus layer on the surface of the eye. And that's benign. We usually don't do anything about it, although sometimes it can get a little red. So if your eyes are irritated or if they're dried out, there can be a little bit of redness there, and simply using some artificial tear drops or lubricant eye drops can make that go away. Other growths are pterygium. I think our listeners are kind of familiar with that. The pterygium is also an overgrowth of the surface of the eye. People who are outside a lot, surfers especially, sailors get this. And this is a little bit more problematic than a simple pinguecula, since if it grows onto the surface and onto the cornea, and if it's big enough, it could affect your vision. So for these, if they get to a certain size, or if they're really bothersome to the person, these can get really beefy and red, and they can cause a lot of irritation. Oftentimes we surgically remove those. So that's something we see quite frequently. Even after surgical removal, sometimes these can grow back, so that can be problematic. Other surface issues, sometimes I see growths that appear to be pterygium, but they're not quite. They do look a little bit more suspicious, and by suspicious, I mean like possible cancers or tumors. People can get cancers on the surface of the eyeball. Since it's exposed to the sun and to UV radiation, You can have different types of tumors or cancers that can grow. So certainly if you do notice any abnormal growth, discoloration on the surface of your eye, if there's an area of the eyeball that's kind of persistently red or redder than usual, do get it checked out. I've had a few patients who've had growths that looked like pterygiums, but ended up being cancer. So what do we do with those? Well, if it does look suspicious on exam, we do recommend that they're removed. So the only way to tell is to do a biopsy. We remove the growth and send it out to the lab for processing. So that's important to know exactly what the growth is. Of course, we do follow these patients quite closely, since tumors can grow back. For certain types of cancers, there's actually a topical or medication or eye drop medication that can prevent recurrence. So that's something that's very effective, and people don't have to go through surgery again once that biopsy has confirmed the tumor. So if you do notice any suspicious growth, any discoloration on the surface of your eyes, or even your eyelids, the eyelids, of course, are exposed to the sun. And like any type of skin cancer, you can have cancers on the eyelids as well. So especially here in Hawaii, since the sun is so intense throughout the year, it is important to get that checked out if you notice any suspicious bumps or growths on your eyelids. Of course, if you are outside, make sure you wear your sunglasses, preferably UV-blocking sunglasses. Please look for that label when you go out shopping for them. So you need the UV-blocking lenses to effectively block out the UV light. Also, wear a hat when you're outside. You know, the hat will cover all the parts of your face not covered, you know, by your sunglasses. So that's vitally important, especially for our kids. You know, they're going to be exposed to the sun for the rest of their lives, of course. So make sure when they go outside, you put sunscreen and put on a hat. You know, I have a 3.5-year-old, and unfortunately, he doesn't like anything on his head. I know it's very difficult for the young kids, but do stress the importance to them. They, of course, they won't understand, but you know, try to make them, you know, wear a hat at least when they're playing outside. So other issues that we see a lot in the office is blurry vision, of course. And most of the time, just simply giving them glasses or updating glasses does the trick. However, we've got a lot of older patients out there who simply tell us, oh, you know what, I'm reading, I'm on the computer, you know, I'm watching TV, the, you know, Korean dramas, I can't, you know, see the subtitles, it like comes and goes. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It gets blurry all of a sudden, but then, you know, it gets better. So what's going on with these intermittent blurry vision patients? Well, whenever I hear blurry vision that comes and goes, depending on the activity, usually that's caused by some sort of ocular surface irritation. And the most common course, of course, is dry eye. If your eyes are dried out, the surface gets kind of irritated. You want your eye surface or the surface of the eye to be well lubricated, and that creates a perfectly smooth surface. So you want that smooth surface to see well and to stay comfortable. Believe it or not, most of the focusing power of the eye is on the surface of the eye. So about 2/3 of the focusing power is actually on the surface. So a lot of people think it's your lens. You know, we all have a lens inside of the eyeball. But most of the focusing power is done on the surface of the eye. So you can imagine if the surface isn't smooth, you know, you're not going to see well. So people who wear glasses or who use like a telescope or microscope, if the surface of your glasses or the microscope or the lens on the microscope or the lens on the camera, if it's not perfectly smooth and there's just like little bumps and crevices or whatever on it, you're not going to be able to focus well. So that's probably the most common cause of intermittent blurry vision. Blurry vision that seems to come and go throughout the day. So, of course, for our dry eye patients, we have a whole bunch of treatment regimens and remedies. Certainly, artificial tears is a good start. So if you do have those symptoms, intermittent blurry vision, tearing, burning, grittiness, sandiness throughout the day, please get it checked out, and hopefully we'll be able to help you. So kind of related to that, a lot of people have itchy eyes too, very common, especially over the past few weeks. We've been seeing a lot of people complaining of itchy eyes, teary eyes, swollen, puffy eyelids. And of course, several things can cause that. The most common, of course, being allergies. People do have allergies that affect the eyes. A lot of people have possibly nasal allergies or maybe skin allergies. So what's going on there? Well, there are different things in the air, in the environment, that can cause an allergic reaction specifically to the eyes. Pollen, other types of plants, different types of plants, dust, mites, and unique to Hawaii, we've got VOG. So all of these things can irritate the surface and cause these annoying symptoms of tearing, puffy eyes, and just intense itching. Like I've had a few patients, their eyes itch so much that they're constantly rubbing, and the skin around the eyelids are just so kind of roughed up from the persistent rubbing of the eyes. So what can we do? Well, we've got special eye drops that can help you out specifically for the allergies. Now, oftentimes I've noticed that our patients with allergies often have dry eyes too. So oftentimes it helps to use the artificial tear drops, the lubricant eye drops throughout the day, not only for the dry eyes, but simply putting the tear drops in kind of cleanses the surface, and it may wash away anything that might be irritating the surface of the eyes. We also have specific eye drops for allergies. And that's really a boon to our patients who have really intense itching. Now, the annoying thing about the allergies and the itching is if you rub it, it tends to make the eyes itch more. By rubbing your eyes, you're stimulating the release of certain chemicals that actually can make you itch more. So I know it's hard. It's hard to avoid rubbing your eyes, especially if they're itchy. But you're actually making them more itchy by doing so. So one thing you can do is just put a cool compress, get like a cool pack, and just lay it over your eyes. And that's pretty effective in relieving the itch. So allergic conjunctivitis, that's called, very common. We see it in a whole spectrum of patients, from little kids to our grandparents. Kids especially have a particularly severe form of allergic conjunctivitis called vernal keratoconjunctivitis, especially young boys. These kids have really, really red, tired-looking eyes. Again, the skin around their eyelids are all kind of chafed from persistent rubbing. So they need to be treated pretty aggressively. The good thing is these young boys tend to grow out of it, so this won't be a persistent thing that dogs them all their life. Usually by their mid-teens, these flare-ups of the allergies stop happening. Now, another thing that can complicate the eye, persistent eye rubbing, is that you can distort the shape of the corneas. I've seen a lot of people who've had a history of allergies and persistent eye rubbing come in with a change of vision, and the glasses prescription has changed dramatically in that they've developed a lot of what's called astigmatism. Astigmatism refers to a type of the glasses correction, and that usually results from an irregular shape of the cornea. Usually the cornea is nice and round, like the surface of a basketball. However, if it becomes distorted, it loses that spherical shape, and that is what causes astigmatism. And if you rub your eyes persistently, you can actually induce that irregular shape over time. So you may notice that your glasses prescription changes, your vision is not as good as usual. So another reason not to rub your eyes, or to persistently rub your eyes, because you may induce some astigmatism if you do so. Okay. So we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Their experienced surgeons have extensive cataract and general eye care experience. And they proudly welcome their newest eye surgeon, Dr. Stephen Ree. Dr. Ree brings a wealth of experience to the Hawaiian Eye Center team. To schedule an appointment with a member of the eye care team, call Hawaiian Eye Center today at 733-2020 or visit the website at hawaiianeye.com.
The news authority in Honolulu is News Radio, 830 KHVH.
It's 67 degrees, partly cloudy in Honolulu. I'm Julia Norton Dennis. Here's what's happening. First Lady Michelle Obama met privately with the family of a Chicago honor student this morning before attending the girl's funeral. Obama is among the dignitaries attending the service for Hadiah Pendleton. The 15-year-old was a band majorette who was shot and killed just a few days after performing for events surrounding President Barack Obama's inauguration. Police say Pendleton was an innocent victim in a gang-related shooting. A howling storm has left the New York to Boston corridor under anywhere from 1 to 3 feet of snow today, stranding motorists on highways overnight, piling up drifts so high that some homeowners couldn't get their doors open. More than 650,000 homes and businesses have lost power. At least 6 deaths in the U.S. and Canada are being blamed on the snowstorm. Police in Rochester, New York, have a person of interest in custody in connection with the murder of Edlene Chun, a native of Hilo, whose body was discovered Wednesday at the bottom of a ravine. Chun was a professor at the Rochester Institute of Technology. Police in Rochester say Chun's vehicle had been stolen, and then her body was found in Tryon Park. They believe she was shot and killed during a robbery. There will be a memorial service at the Himimaru Memorial in Kaka'ako today, beginning at 1:30 p.m. to mark the 13th anniversary of the tragic accident at sea, which killed 9 crew members and 4 high school students on the Himimaru Japanese fishing boat. The Himimaru was struck by the USS Greenville as the sub was surfacing. Paddleboarders will be participating in the XL Race Against Skin Cancer this morning at Kaimana Beach. XL teamed up with the University of Hawaii Cancer Center to present the event, which raises awareness about skin cancer. Registration begins at 8 and goes until 9:30 a.m., and the race begins at 10 a.m. High surf for north and west shores. Today, mostly sunny, breezy, high in the 80s. Tonight, mostly clear, low near 69, and tomorrow, mostly sunny, currently 67.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers you complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Advanced technology lenses are designed to provide good vision for distance, near and in between, with less dependence on eyeglasses. When cataracts blur vision, a short, painless procedure helps. If you have a cataract and want back youthful vision, call Hawaiian Eye Center at 733-2020 or visit hawaiianeye.com.
The phone lines are now open at 521-8383. On the neighbor islands, it's a free call, 1-888-565-8383. And now, here's Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the Hawaiian Eye Show. This is Dr. Steve Ree filling in this morning for Dr. Tortora. We're talking about some interesting eye conditions that we've seen over the past few weeks in our office. During our break, I was talking to Jimmy, who's helping me out this morning. He was telling me how he's been noticing over the past year or so that his near vision has not been that great, and he's having to extend his arms more and more to read the fine print. Of course, that's a really, you know, common thing we encounter in our office, in our kind of 40-year-old and close to 40-year-old patients. So when you hit your 40s, you'll expect to notice that change in your vision. You may have had great vision all your life for distance, for reading, for computer. You can just, you know, get in your car, drive to where you're going without the need for glasses. You can read your novel, work on the computer, work at work, you know, with no problems. But you start to notice, you know, the fine print is getting a little bit more difficult. You're doing what I call the head snap, where you like kind of pull your head back when you read. You're extending your arms. So that's completely natural. You can kind of expect that in and around your 40s. So we can't, you know, prescribe longer arms, but we can recommend reading glasses. I know a lot of people may dread hearing that, but, you know, better to use them and to see better than to strain your eyes. I've had a lot of people as well come in, you know, avoiding glasses, but they tell me, oh boy, you know, I've been getting a lot of headaches, you know, especially if I'm reading or on the computer, or what's going on? You know, my primary care doctor told me to come here, and so I'm not quite sure why I'm at the eye doctor. But you know, they're totally right. You know, you're straining your eyes, so that's why you're getting that dull ache between your eyes. So certainly, reading glasses will help. So if you are at that age, don't be surprised. That's something to, you know, expect. Happens to everybody. Can't avoid it. So check out your eye doctor if you do have problems like that. Well, we do have a caller, Dion. Hello?
Hi, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
I have a situation here I hope you can address for me.
Okay.
I've had flu for a couple of weeks. I've been in bed,
mm-hmm.
developed a conjunctivitis.
Oh, boy.
In both eyes.
Uh-huh.
And I recall that in the olden days, I haven't had this for a while, I used to get a boric acid solution
mm-hmm.
to bathe the eyes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Along with an antibiotic
okay.
drops,
mm-hmm.
and that cleared it up right away.
Okay.
Now, I understand I can't be prescribed antibiotics over the phone, but it's quite impossible for me to get out of my bed right now to go see a doctor. And I'm wondering about the boric acid. Got some powder from the store, but it's on the label of it. It says, "Oh, poisonous and all this stuff. Don't use in the eye."
Yeah, I wouldn't put that in your eyes. You said you have conjunctivitis. So tell me what your eyes are like. How are they feeling, or how did it all start?
Well, puffy.
Are your eyes red?
Very red.
Yeah. Are they kind of sticky in the morning?
Oh yes, glued together.
Yeah. So it sounds like, you know, what's commonly called pink eye, which is a viral conjunctivitis. Since
I thought perhaps this had developed because of the virus that I had.
Yeah, possibly. Oftentimes there is kind of like a viral syndrome that happens before, or people who do come in with pink eye have sick, you know, relatives, or people at home also are sick. So the viral conjunctivitis often starts like you described, you know, puffy eyelids, red eyes, and sticky eyelids in the morning. Like, it's very difficult to open the eyes. You kind of have to pry them open because they're stuck shut. Since it's a virus, antibiotics really don't work because antibiotics work on bacteria and not viruses. So oftentimes, like a cold, you have to, you know, wait it out. But, you know, just over the phone and just hearing you describe it, it's hard to tell, you know, if it is a viral as opposed to a bacterial conjunctivitis. Usually bacterial tends to be, you know, more discharge than a viral. But, you know, without actually looking at you, it is kind of difficult to tell. If it is a viral conjunctivitis, that usually goes away on its own. The time course is over the first week to 10 days, it gets pretty bad, and it kind of ramps up the symptoms. But then after that, it should slowly start to get better over time. We do, you know, like to see people, even with the viral conjunctivitis, because some people with an especially, you know, strong strain of the virus can develop membranes on the conjunctiva. People can have like an immune reaction also on the corneas, and that needs to be treated. So oftentimes we do see people back after about a week just to check for those changes. The boric acid, we really don't recommend that you do.
I wonder why it was used and prescribed by my doctor.
I think that's one of those historic remedies. I'm not sure.
The fact is, it worked and it eased the itching and it got rid of it.
Okay. Yeah, but we don't routinely recommend that. I know you're not feeling that great because of the flu, but you know it might be a good idea just to get it checked out if it's been going on for a while. Has it been a few days now?
Yeah. It's improved in the past 2 days, but still it's there. And
it's
Well, if I could just soak this with some warm water.
If you can have anybody bring you some like artificial teardrops, that'll just help relieve some of the symptoms.
That would be safe.
It's okay, yeah, the over-the-counter artificial teardrops. Mm-hmm. You know, I had pink eye myself several years ago, and it wasn't fun. And it started in my right eye, and then 2 days later it went to my left eye. And my eyes were crusty in the morning. I couldn't open them. I had to pry them open. But after about a week and a half, it did start to get better. And certainly by the second and third week, it was much improved. But, you know, we like to see people back about a week or two after the symptoms start just to check out the surface, make sure there aren't those immune reaction or even membranes, because those we need to deal with a little bit differently.
I'm wondering, why are they selling boric acid anymore if it's...
Do they sell... Is it like eye drops?
No.
Oh, I'm not sure. I don't know. Yeah, I honestly can't tell you. Yeah, I'm not sure.
I notice when I try to rinse them out in the morning with water, it's the water is kind of irritating.
Yeah. I think water will be irritating, but if you use the artificial teardrops, it may be a little bit more soothing.
Are you familiar with a product called Similisan eye drops?
Oh, yeah. I think I have heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They have one that's called Pink Eye.
You know, I'm not sure what the active component in that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they're homeopathic.
But I usually recommend, doing the artificial teardrops for comfort. And if you can, you know, see somebody, especially if the symptoms get worse, over time.
But as far as like
recommend
having
it.
A compress on your eye.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like a cool compress will help out with
cool,
the symptoms.
Cool, rather than
warm. Yeah. I would use a cool. That's what I did. I had like a cool pack. And I placed it over my eyes and it did feel a lot better.
Like one of the ones we keep in our freezer.
That might be a little too cold. Like
yeah,
if it's really solid. Yeah, keep it in the fridge. The one that I used had like a gel inside of it.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like kind of mushy.
Yeah.
And I just kept it in the fridge,
mm-hmm.
and I placed that over my eyes, and it did feel a lot better.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Do you know about cucumbers?
Putting cucumbers on your eyes.
Slices of cucumber.
Oh, I know that they do that in like some spas, right? to the skin, but yeah, I don't think that'll accelerate the healing process.
Okay, but do you think the artificial tears might help?
Yeah, just for comfort. But certainly, if you feel like it's getting worse, like the redness or the scratchiness, and certainly if your vision's changing, I would recommend seeing somebody.
Does it have any effect on the fact that I've had cataract surgery and so I have strange little lenses in my eyes?
Oh, for the surface, pink
eye,
no.
No,
it shouldn't. No.
Do you know why I noticed that those little eyes look? I guess the light hits them in a certain way, and you can.
Oh, you see, like a glint.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the. So for cataract surgery, we take out your natural lens, which is the cataract, and replace it with an artificial or implant. And the implant is a special type of plastic, and when the light hits it right, it kind of sparkles a little bit.
Yeah.
So
like
a lot
outer
of people.
Outer space looking.
So a lot of people do notice that.
Yeah.
After the cataract
also,
surgery.
I do have a shimmer in my eyes. If you can understand what I'm saying, in my vision, which can be annoying from time to time. I've had this now for a couple of years, and.
Mm-hmm.
I was told that I would get used to it, but I don't seem to get used to it. And it's not all the time, but just...
Okay, like a kind of glare off to the side?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I have heard some people get that after the cataract surgery.
Mm-hmm.
I think what may be happening is perhaps when the light hits the lens and your
mm-hmm.
eye at the right angle, sometimes there is like a little shimmer off to the side. Yeah, so that's not completely unusual. I have heard that, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
But nothing to worry about.
Only if it's, you see, like, floaters or flashing lights or anything, you know, anything unusual. If it's a different type of symptom that's different from usual, perhaps that needs to
be. Well, I must congratulate you on being very smooth and very good on the radio, so it's most enjoyable.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks very much.
Hey, thanks for your call, and hope you feel better.
Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so, yeah, pink eye, we kind of see that in certain groups. Like one week, we'd see like a whole bunch come in, whereas the next week we may not see any. So if you do have symptoms like that, redness, puffiness of the eyelids, sticky eyelids, starting off in one eye, then going to the other, that might be the viral conjunctivitis. So, you know, we always tell our patients, wash your hands if you touch your eyes, because you might spread it to other people. So it's very important to maintain, you know, hand hygiene and get it checked out, certainly, especially if you notice a decrease in your vision and if your eye is really uncomfortable. So before we go on, we're going to take one more break. We'll be right back.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
With the latest technology, cataract care is often a fast, painless procedure with a rapid return to normal vision and normal activities.
It doesn't hurt. It just takes, 15, 20 minutes the most, and you're out. That's it.
We strive to make your procedure safe and painless. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, hawaiianeye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
Life has never looked better. Life has never looked better with Hawaiian Eye Center.
The phone lines are open at 521-8383. And from the neighbor islands, 1-888-565-8383. Now, back to Dr. Christopher Tortora, our host of the Hawaiian Eye Show.
One, two, three, five! Well, she was just 17, you know what I mean. And the way she looked was way beyond compare.
Okay, welcome back to the Hawaiian Eye Show. This is Dr. Steve Ree filling in for Dr. Tortora. We were talking about pink eye earlier, so that's something we've been seeing a lot lately. I've been seeing quite a few patients with it, and it can be really bothersome. So it is a viral infection, so the antibiotics won't really work for that. I know a lot of people think that if they have pink eye, the antibiotics will do the trick, but the antibiotics work on bacteria, not viruses, so it won't work. Speaking of viruses, something else that I've been seeing lately is shingles. I think some people may be familiar with this. Shingles is that rash that you can get on your skin. It's usually on your chest. A lot of people get it in the chest area. However, you can get it on your forehead. It's usually limited to one half of the face. But if you do get it on the forehead, or sometimes on your cheek area, it can affect the eye. So a lot of times we have our primary care colleagues send over patients who have shingles around the eyes or eyelids. And we want to make sure that the shingles isn't affecting the eyeball itself. Now, shingles is caused by the chickenpox virus. A lot of people are familiar with the chickenpox. You may have had it when you were a kid. Once it like resolves as a kid or even as an adult, that chickenpox virus or the varicella zoster virus kind of hangs out in the nerves, lays dormant in the nerves. And later on in life, it can become reactivated. And when it reactivates, it presents as shingles. And for people who've had shingles, you know how uncomfortable that can be. So you can imagine how it can be if it does affect your eyes. However, before we go on and talk about shingles, we have another caller. Hello?
Hello?
Oh, hi. It's Dr. Reed. How are you?
Okay, fine. Thank you. Am I in the air?
Yes, yes. Do you have a question?
Okay, please bear with me. English is not my language.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I have been diagnosed with AMD.
Okay.
2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the only way I can, I'm my middle 80s.
Okay.
The only way I can read is with a 3x magnifier I bought. You know what that is?
Yeah.
3x magnifier.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now, my question to you is, I know we don't have much time, can you make me reading glasses with the same power as these 3x magnifiers?
Oh, okay. That's a great question. So.
Yeah, because I read fine, but I sit in a restaurant with that magnifier. It drives me nuts, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Can you make me powerful,
you know,
glasses like that?
You know, we'd have to, we can kind of try in the office to, I guess, customize the reader. I know you're used to reading the read with the reading glasses, right?
Yeah, I used to have them all out of date, you know, I can't use them anymore.
But if the macular degeneration worsens over time, you know, as you know, you lose the central vision.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's tough to use the bifocal when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And with the magnifier, since it's kind of placed away from you a little bit.
It
and
is placed away from
you.
Yeah,
it magnifies the entire area that you're reading.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a little bit easier to tolerate because do you notice, like, do you have a blind spot?
A blind spot with my AMD?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Just in the middle, right?
Yeah.
That middle part.
Yeah.
The surrounding parts are still okay, but
right in the middle. So that's probably why the magnifier may work a little bit better for you because of that blind spot. But, I mean, I'm sure your doctors have tried the bifocal, I'm guessing.
No, we haven't tried anything at all.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and you're
I was just diagnosed with it, and like I said, 2 years ago or something, and they wanted to inject this terrible stuff that you inject in the eyes. You probably know what it is. Shots every month.
Yeah, so the macular degeneration.
I didn't go for that. I said no, I don't want to do it. I'm old and I'm at the last. What you say that in English? My time is running out. So, what I have left, at least, I want to be able to pay my bills and write and read. You know.
Well, you know, you sound kind of spry and active to me. The macular degeneration, as you may know, there are different types. There's the dry type, and the wet type. And, you know, the wet type can be kind of devastating to the vision because it can change so rapidly. And
It's the wet type.
Yeah.
And it hasn't changed at all, not one bit. It's the same thing.
The worry is, though, if the wet type isn't treated, you know, the vision may change more rapidly over time. So, you know, you mentioned the injection.
Yeah.
You know, the injection has actually been, you know, a great treatment really for the wet type. It's a newer treatment that's available for the macular degeneration.
Is that new now? Because I'm following up very, very closely with that.
It's actually done a lot of good for people with the wet type, and in fact, in some people, it's actually stabilized the macular degeneration, and in some people, it's actually improved the vision a little bit too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if your doctor recommended the injection, you know, it may actually help. And what we don't want is for your vision, that blind spot, to get worse.
It did not get worse. Good, at all.
And we don't want it to.
What he did suggest was lutein. I take a lot of lutein.
Lutein,
carotene, and oh, my whole...
Yeah.
My diet has changed.
But the injection has done a lot of wonders for our macular degeneration.
Oh, really?
Patients. Yeah. I know it sounds kind of weird getting a shot inside the eye, but since the area of the treatment, you know, the macular degeneration is inside the eye, so we got to treat that where the area of the disease is. So.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's more effective certainly than using eye drops.
Do you do that sort of thing in your office?
Oh, no, I'm not a retina specialist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I work mostly on the outside and the cataracts.
Uh-huh.
The people who do the injections are specialists, eye doctors who specialize in the back part of the eye, the retina. That's where the macular degeneration is.
Yeah, this was a specialist I was
seeing. Yeah, so, if they did recommend it, I mean...
But I'm doing fine with the magnifying thing, but I don't like to... I thought if it's possible to make reading glasses as powerful as that, fine, then I can go for that.
Your doctor would have to try to fine-tune it with you there, you know, because you have the blind spot. So that might be a little bit difficult than, you know, just giving you the prescription.
I try to talk to him and what he can do
about
it.
Yeah, and fine tune it.
I just wanted
it.
To really hear your opinion. I've heard so many opinions. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. We have a lot of great retina specialists here, so I'm sure, you know, I would, you know, follow their advice, you know, regarding the treatment. Yeah, because I would hate for your vision, you know, to just get worse over time.
Mm-hmm. It hasn't. In 2 years' time, it was better with a magnifying glass. Anyway, all I wanted to know your opinion. I'll follow up with it,
Okay.
Thank you, Doctor.
No problem.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for your question. Bye-bye.
Okay.
That was a great question about macular degeneration. The shot that she's speaking of has been around for a few years now, and it's one of the treatments that's actually been effective in treating the wet type of macular degeneration. So I hope she does go back to see the specialist and heed their advice. We're kind of talking about shingles a little bit. So if you do have shingles around the forehead, around the cheek area, certainly get that checked out, not only by your primary care doctor, but you may want to see the eye doctor as well, because the shingles can affect the inside the eyeball, and by that I mean there can be infection on the surface of the eye, inflammation inside of the eye, and that needs to be addressed separately. Oftentimes people who do have shingles are started on antiviral medications. However, if there's inflammation inside of the eye, that needs to be treated a little bit differently. Some people out there may have gotten the shingles vaccine. There is a shingles vaccine that's available mostly for our older patients, like our grandparents may have gotten it. And I think they even recommend the chickenpox vaccine for kids now. So I think both of my sons have gotten that. The hour has passed already. We're talking about eyes and eye care. Had a lot of fun talking to you guys, and I want to thank all of our callers with their questions. I want to thank Jimmy for helping me out this morning. Please be sure to check out our website at www.hawaiianeye.com. Dr. Tortura, I believe, will be back next week, and I'll probably see you around. Okay, thanks for listening. Aloha.
You've been listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with Harvard-trained eye surgeon Dr. Christopher Tortura. If you have an eye problem, want to get a second opinion, or aren't seeing as well as you used to, make an appointment with Dr. Tortura or one of the doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center in Central Oahu or Hilo by calling C-2020. That's 733-2020. Until next week, here's looking at you.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The Rush Limbaugh Show.
What we have to do is get rid of liberals and socialists from positions of power.
Weekday mornings at 10 on KHVH Honolulu, Hawaii's home.